Did Bob McCowan just say what I think he said? You can rewind Primetime Sports Podcast when you subscribe at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Sports addiction. Sports obsession. You can't diagnose it as a problem issue when your career is sports. Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
A pen, please.
I know when to go out. I know when to stay in. Get things done.
Well, hello. It is Monday. I don't think it's the 28th of September, is it? I don't think it's the 28th of September. I think we've done September now. October 5th, that's a better date. Maybe next time you should put that one on the top of the lineup instead of September 28th. But that's all right. I'll find somebody who can do that. Greetings and salutations to you all. Oh, exciting news. We have a release from Major League Baseball. Here are the times and days for the postseason games. And you may like them or you may not. Time to call in sick is the answer if you're a baseball fan, and specifically a Blue Jays fan. Of course, the American League wild card game goes tomorrow. The National League wildcard game goes on Wednesday. Both of them 8:08 starts. Then Thursday, if the New York Yankees win the American League wildcard game, the Texas Rangers will be at the Blue Jays at 4:07. If the Yankees win the wildcard game, Texas at Toronto starts at 4:07. Then the Yankees at Kansas City at 8:07. If Houston wins the wild card game, Texas at Toronto at 3:37, Houston at Kansas City at 7:37. So if you've got tickets or if you want to watch on television, it's going to be a late afternoon game, either 3:37 or 4:07. Then, regardless who wins the wild card games, Friday, the Blue Jays and Texas Rangers at 12:45 p.m. So they get the first game on both days. An early afternoon game. Kansas City hosts the game at 3:45. St. Louis will host either Chicago or Pittsburgh at 6:45. The Mets will play the Dodgers at 9:45. But the Blue Jays' first two games are afternoon games. And one more time, either 3:37 or 4:07 on Thursday afternoon, and then 12:45 on Friday. Then Saturday becomes an off day for the Blue Jays and Rangers, and they will play Sunday night at 8:10 at Texas. So they get the primetime game on Sunday night, albeit up against Sunday Night Football. So there you go. There are your answers to your questions about who plays when, and most specifically, what the Blue Jays schedule will be. It is perhaps not what you would want, but playoffs are playoffs, and you're going to play sometime. There was some hope that the Blue Jays would get a primetime game. But what that means to the locals, I don't know. It depends. You know, if you've got tickets, you know, you had to take this into consideration. Excuse me. The possibility that you would not be going to the ball game after work, that you had to take the day off. If you can't take the day off but have tickets, call us. We can get rid of your tickets for you. Speaking of that, 870-0590 if you're in 416, star 590 on your cell, or 1-888-666-0590. Phone lines are open for the next hour. Later in the program, Buck Martinez will join us in studio. Wow. Been a while since Bucko was in the building. Joe Theismann will be with us. Take a look at what happened this weekend in the NFL. Doug McClain of the NHL on Sportsnet. The season begins later this week, but the big show, their season launch show, is tonight, right? So McClain will be around. And then CJ Nitkowski of Fox Sports 1. More baseball stuff. Arash Madani is the co-host today. We'll repeat these starting times for you periodically in case you missed it. All right, to your phone calls. Jake in Collingwood, you're first today. Hello.
Well, thanks, Bob. Who would have known, eh? 22 years later, we finally made it. That's just great. I heard on the radio today a lot of the people trying to defend Gibbons. And look, I'll preface this that I'm not a fan of Gibbons. But that being said, you know, I try to keep an open mind. And before I forget, one of the things that is being overlooked here is that Edwin Encarnacion was pulled out of the game, and he had one more bat, and he could have gotten 40. Now, wouldn't that have been fabulous? And Donaldson, Bautista, and Edwin have 40 that would never have been done in history. But Gibbons forgot about that, I can only presume, because Edwin wasn't hurt. That being said, is, again, why was Burley pitching today? What if Kansas City had have lost? How bad would this have looked? The message that has to be sent is that the team comes first. And if this game had been, he should not have started, but if the game had got carried away, either winning or losing, he should have been brought in relief.
Well, here's what I will say. While I support Gibbons, I do not support the agenda of the ball club over the last 5 days. Once they clinched the American League East, they decided to pay little or no attention to the Kansas City Royals and finishing first overall. Now, you can make an argument that the only scenario under which they lost a home game is if they play the Kansas City Royals in the ALCS. However, based upon records, that would be the expected matchup in the ALCS. I don't agree with that theory. I'm not sure Gibbons made that decision entirely on his own. I think he makes those kinds of decisions in conjunction with the front office, and of course that would mean Alex Anthopoulos. I disagree with it, but I'm not going to belabor it. As for Burley pitching on Sunday, since the decision already was made to prepare for the postseason rather than look at worry about who pitches, who starts, the Burley decision doesn't bother me at all. If they had won the game on Saturday, I would be interested in knowing whether Burley still would have got the start. And if not Burley, would you have gone with Hutchison? And you can make the argument that that's not trying to win either. So, in general terms, I'm not satisfied with or happy with the way this thing played out. But not because of the losses. not even because they didn't get first in the American League, but rather that they seemed more prepared to A, celebrate, and B, plan for the postseason, rather than acknowledge any level of import in holding off Kansas City. And remember, at one point, they had a two-game lead over Kansas City. And in essence, a 2.5-game lead over Kansas City, and let that slip away. On top of that, the other thing I don't like is I don't like a team losing games going into the postseason. I want my team to be ready. I want them to be as hot as possible. I think history shows that teams that play well down the stretch, and that doesn't just mean the last week of the season. Granted, it means the last month, sometimes 2 months of the year, tend to perform better in the postseason. If you're playing well, you tend to perform better. The question you got to ask yourself is, do you write off those three losses? I mean, take Saturday away. That was Osuna giving up runs in the ninth inning with the Blue Jays had the lead. There was nothing funny going on there. But the two losses to Baltimore in the last two games of that series, and then the loss to Tampa Bay on the last day, were those giveaways? And were they important? And I would say yes to both. Nick, Niagara Falls, hello.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing? Good afternoon.
Fine.
I want to talk about the starting rotation. I understand, obviously, Price is going first. I think it depends on whether they win or lose.
No, it doesn't.
I think if they win, you got to go Dickey second.
No, Dickey's going second.
For sure?
I guarantee it, because he's a better pitcher at home in the Dome.
Well, that was my point. But if they lose, don't you got to go with Stroman?
No. No, I don't think so. I think you set your rotation, and I think you go with Dickey second, and Stroman goes on the road. I don't think it has anything to do with whether you win or lose the first game. Now, has that been announced? It has not, to the best of my knowledge. But I don't even think it's a question. I think it's clear that Dickey is a better pitcher at the Dome than he is on the road. Stroman, on the other hand, seems immune to any pressures on the road. And on top of that, I'd rather have my knuckleballer between my two hard throwers. I'll give you Price, a hard thrower. Then I'm going to come back with the junk guy in Dickey. And then I'm going to come back with another hard thrower in Stroman. I'd probably do that under any circumstance. But if you then look at the home record of Dickey versus the road record, you'll see he's better at home. That's not a big surprise by any stretch of the imagination. But for a guy like Dickey, it's how does the ball react? What kind of comfort level does he have? Is he more likely to have a good game if he's at home rather than on the road? And the answer to all of those questions is yes. Therefore, in my mind, no question, not even an issue. Don't have to talk about it. Here it is. Price, Dickey, Stroman. To John in Toronto. Hello.
Hey, Bob. Nice talking to you.
Pleasure.
Good. I just wanted to talk. I had one thing in mind was the name for this lineup, right? Like WAMCO or Murderers Row. And so they should be called the Cookie Monsters.
Okay.
Because you know, they sit and you can just see them waiting for that cookie to be thrown. Anyhow, that's my nomination to the name. The other thing was I don't think you'd be overstated about that game in Washington, the second game on the 2nd of June. Where Pilar and Estrada just seem to wake up. And, you know, and if you think for about a good uh, couple, 3 weeks, you know, they just did amazing things, you know, that's all. Just wanted to say you can't overstate, you know, I think they sort of gelled there when you got the two guys like Estrada and Pilar who weren't going to be counted on to like carry the team when there was
an the only issue I would say to you is when you get to the trade deadline, you're still only a 500 baseball team. And
yeah.
I don't remember what they were on the 2nd of June. I mean, I know they went below
23 and 24 or something.
Yeah, I know. And they went four games below 500 or something at one point, or maybe more than that. So,
anyhow.
You know, interesting, but I'm not sure I put too much significance in it. Thank you for the call. To Jamie Dundas, hello.
Hi, it's Dundas. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, okay.
First time caller, Bob.
Thank you.
I listen to your show all the time.
Thanks.
Great job. Just a couple things. I think Gibby did the right thing, giving Burley the chance to get his 200th inning in yesterday. What if they would have had Scope playing first base? He makes that error. He wasn't going to make the error, probably. We get out of the inning. We won't be talking about this. He probably pitches a couple innings and gets out of there.
Well, the win on Sunday made no difference at any rate.
Yeah, I know that. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, he would have got his 200th inning in. That's all. Yeah. There was a couple of errors. That's all. It, you know,
the loss on Saturday is what put them in the jackpot. It put Kansas City in the captain's chair, and by the time you get to Sunday. That, I mean, of all the games that didn't matter, that was the first. I would argue the second game of the doubleheader after they clinched. I understand why they did it. I also understand why they didn't want to put the starting lineup out the next day. I also understand that if there wasn't a doubleheader, we're probably not having this conversation. Gibby probably doesn't do what he did. But when you throw away two games, when you put the Buffalo Bisons on the field for two games, when you still have something to play for, albeit something fairly small, that bothers me. The decision on Price is a real interesting one. You know, who was the starting pitcher for the Dodgers yesterday in a game that didn't matter even a little bit? Kershaw. It's a complete difference of opinion. I'll side with the Dodgers on this. I'll wait and see. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. Maybe, you know, 11 days rest is exactly what you needed for Price. You know, maybe giving these other players days off late in the season is a good idea. But I've said all along, you got 3 days. Baseball players only get 1 3-day rest a year, and that's at the All-Star break. Now the Blue Jays are going to get another 3-day rest. Is it going to heal all the bumps and bruises? No. But are you going to feel a lot better, a lot fresher? Sure. Do you need to give them other days rest leading up to those? I wouldn't. I'd play my starting lineup as often as I can, even if the Kansas City thing is of no concern to you. If they clinched a week before or 2 weeks before, maybe a different story. Maybe you give them 3 or 4 days off, but then you bring them back late in the regular season to make sure they've had several days, preferably a week, leading up to the postseason. For everybody to get in shape. That's how I would do it. They chose not to. We'll find out if it mattered. Shane in Oshawa, hello.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Good.
Good. If I could be permitted to go off about this for a second, I know that's what everyone's going to call about, but it doesn't make sense. Ever since the All-Star break with their new acquisitions, our team has been going balls to the wall, and it seemed to have been working out pretty good. So I don't understand why we would let up on that and get into this situation. I liken it to, say you're at work, Bob, and I say, hey, if you get all your work done by the end of Friday, you can have Monday off. And then you go ahead and you get right to that very point where you have one piece of paperwork left to do. and then you say, you know what, screw it, I'll just work Monday. It makes absolutely no sense. It's frustrating, and if this is something that costs us something big, you guys are never going to hear the end of it on this station.
Thanks a lot for the call. To Richard in Brampton. Hello.
Hey, Bob. How are you doing? First-time caller.
Thank you.
Bob, listen, I know that Gibbons is a rookie manager, and basically...
Well, no, he's not a rookie manager. He's been at it 3 years now.
He's a manager for the playoffs, though. He has never touched the playoffs.
Okay.
And basically, he's making mistakes, and we can see them because we're fans, and we're fans from two World Series. So basically, we want that, right? And I know Rodgers owns the baseball team now, and you can't really say, you guys can't say anything bad about Gibbons because he's a Rodgers employee.
Of course
so
we can.
You.
That's ridiculous. Of course I can.
You can?
Of course I can.
I never hear you guys say anything bad about him, though.
Well, really. I happen to like the guy, but if you were listening to the first 20 minutes of this program, I said I vehemently disagree with the decisions that he made.
Yeah, but you said, but you kind of took his side too. You went both ways on that one. For him, I think when a team is hot, they're in a hot streak. He kind of smothered the fire. You know, they were burning, and you could even hear Batista when he had that interview, and he said, you know, when you're going good, you don't want to take any days off. He said it right to the public. We know what he's saying underneath his breath, and we understand that. But Gibbons, he does his things his own way. And like the other guy said, when Encarnacion, he could have had 40 home runs. He didn't even think twice. And I was thinking, you know what? He's going to get it on his last bat. He's really going for it, you know, and he didn't give him that opportunity. And I think that's, you know, that's something that's missed. And basically, if I was the Jays, I would use a three guy rotation right now, and I like the way you said Price and put Dickey in between. Sounds great because it does fool the batters when you got a fast guy, and then you put your magician, who's the knuckleballer, and he's a great knuckleballer. And if they would have did that when Price first came onto the team, I think Dickey's record would be a lot better than it is now.
Well, it's pretty hard to be that. I thank you for the call. You know, you're all over the map here. I know everybody thinks they're smarter than the manager or smarter than me or smarter than everybody. But we do encourage you, if you're going to come on and you're going to argue with me over something, and I'm not immune to that, try and listen to what I've said previously. Nancy in Hamilton, hello.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Okay.
My question is, Bob, is like... I don't like John Gibbons. I never have.
Why?
Why? He was here before, if you recall.
Yes, I do.
And he didn't do anything then. All he did was argue with the players. He couldn't get along with them then.
Well, he's got himself an American League East championship.
Yes, but he doesn't play. He doesn't go out on the field and play the game.
So it doesn't matter who the manager is? Is that what you're saying? It doesn't matter?
Pardon?
It doesn't matter who the manager is?
Well, I don't think so, but...
Well, then why was it an issue before?
Moves that I just don't understand. I've been watching the Blue Jays since 1977.
Okay, name a move that he made other than in the last 5 days, which I've already acknowledged. I don't agree with the way he's handled this.
And I'm not going to argue with you, Bob.
Okay, so
I'm not gonna argue
what
with
is
you.
Another? What's another move that that he has made that you didn't like?
Move when the Yankees were here and they took 2 out of 3.
Okay.
And he didn't, he put David Price back out in the 8th inning.
Okay.
Okay. And because Eric Sanchez is bad with people on base.
Aaron Sanchez.
Oh, Aaron, sorry. That's right, Aaron Sanchez, sorry. And he never...
Look, I can't... I mean, you got to turn your radio down. You're asked to turn it down when you call in. And you're listening... You're listening to the TV or the radio or whatever, and it's annoying for me and the audience. So, look, you're entitled to have your opinion. But the generic, I don't like Gibby, he's not a good manager, isn't going to fly with me. You got to cite the case of why you don't think he's a good manager. Lewis in Toronto, hello.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Hi.
Now, my comment is just about the top three. Mm-hmm. I hear everybody talking, you know, Price, Stroman, Dickey.
Yep.
But, I mean, the real thing for me is that nobody's talking about it, but Marco Estrada has the number one guy in the American League and a top five guy in the majors since the All-Star break, holding opponents to a 180 batting average. He's already in the top 10 in the American League. I'm not exactly
okay. All right. Well, I got your point. So where would you pitch him?
I pitch him number three. It doesn't matter if it's in
Who goes to four?
Dickey. But I mean, with those numbers, Bob, I mean, we'd be pretty stupid not to put him first. A 180 batting average.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I think there's two levels of concern. Number one, Estrada's never done anything remotely close to this before. Number two, he has already exceeded the total number of innings he's pitched in a year. Do you worry about a guy's long-term future, especially when he's a free agent? I don't. I don't care if he throws his arm out. But I don't think R.A. Dickey has done anything over the last 3 months to suggest he shouldn't be among the three top pitchers on this club, regardless of what Estrada's done. Now, if Stroman doesn't come back or Stroman is mediocre instead of a superstar, Estrada's your number three guy. And Stroman becomes the fourth guy on the rotation. So, again, your opinion is valid. It isn't mine. I'm trying to tell you why I think those are my three guys. It isn't etched in stone. But it does make more sense to me than Estrada. But I see your point. It is nice to have. I think what becomes even more interesting is, assuming you go to game four, do you pitch Estrada in game four and then come back with Price if you need to in game five? Or do you go to Price in game four and maybe that doesn't set up as well for the next series, assuming you win it? But that's a few days down the road. Colin Burlington, hi.
Hello. All these so-called fans, Edwin's been playing here for 6 years. Why is it so hard to say Encarnacion? But that's beside the point.
Thank you.
You said earlier that we will find out soon whether these moves that Gibby has made will matter or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we really won't, because the home field advantage really doesn't mean a thing. We've had the wild card era for 20 seasons now. And the team with the best record in the AL has made it to the World Series only 7 times.
I'd still rather have home field advantage when you've got a record like the Blue Jays do. You know, they're basically a 500 team on the road and a 660 team at home. I think the difference between the two is dramatic enough, and the performance ability of the team and the way the ballpark fits this team is impactful enough for me to believe that I'd rather have the home games. I think it matters. I think it matters a lot. Now, does that mean that even if you get Kansas City, you're going to go to a game 7? Of course it doesn't. There's a greater likelihood it ends before game 7. But if you're going to have a game 7, if we get to that point, remember, this is a team that by their actions, an organization, more specifically, by their actions, didn't place, in my opinion, enough value on going for that. If you go for it and don't get it, that's fine. If you lose every game like you played Saturday's game, all right. But to basically put who, and who out there, doesn't make any sense to me. Just doesn't make any sense. It's baseball. You play every day. Sometimes you play two. Sometimes you play on short rest. You know, at one point, it was suggested by the manager that if the game had been a 4 o'clock start and hadn't been moved up to noon, the starting lineup on that last game in Baltimore would have been the starters. Well, the game was moved up to noon. They played for about a half an hour. Then the rain came, and guess what time they started playing again? 4 o'clock. Did he replace all those guys with the regulars? He did not. All I'm saying is, I wouldn't have done it that way. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is going to cost them the series with Texas, because I got no idea. We'll take the break. Come back with more. Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Before the hour. It's Primetime Sports on the Sportsnet radio and television networks. For those of you just getting in your cars and not yet aware, the Toronto Blue Jays will open the ALDS against Texas Thursday. It'll be a 4:07 first pitch if the Yankees win the wild card game, 3:37 first pitch if Houston wins the wild card game. So if you have game one tickets, be prepared to take the afternoon off on Thursday, because it'll either be a 3:37 or a 4:07 start. Then Friday, regardless who wins the wild card game, Blue Jays and Texas Rangers will play game two at 12:45, so you'll need to take 2 days off. What a shame. And as I've said before, if you have bought tickets and can't take those days off and use the tickets, we'll be happy to take them off your hands. We're not going to pay for them. You already bought them. Too bad for you. Sunday, the Blue Jays play game three at Texas, and that is a primetime game, 8:10 p.m. And we'll repeat this information periodically over the course of the evening, because there are people joining the show at all times. Oh, some hockey news. San Jose's Rafi Torres suspended 41 games for an illegal check to the head and interference. 41 game suspension. That's big, and in my mind, it's good. Ron in Tecumseh, hello.
Hi, Bob. Good to be with you, sir.
Sure, my pleasure.
Thank you. So in terms of Gibbons, you know, I think I'm not going to get into whether, you know, he's a great manager or bad manager or whatever, but I think in the interest of fairness, you know, you are what your record says you are. And this year he managed a club that won their division, I believe, by 5 or 6 games.
Yep, that's true.
And are going to start the playoffs at home. So for that, I think he deserves credit. I do have an issue with how he managed the last week of the season.
Me too.
Now, in terms of resting players and giving them a break for a playoff run, I have no problem with that. Guys get banged up. We don't know if they're injured or what they're dealing with. So if they need a day, you know, off or 2 days off, that's fine. The issue that I have is you play to win the games, and that means you can't be resting your entire team when you're still playing for something. You know, at the end of the day, every game is 1/162nd of your season, so they're all weighted equally. However, you can't deny that these games were really important. We were playing for something. And the contradiction to me of Gibby resting the entire team but allowing Tulowitzki to get 2 games in is a little bit of a contradiction. You know, you want to get Tulo back in the swing of things, and you want to get his timing going, and hopefully he breaks out of the slump that he's been in before he got injured. But on the other hand, you rest your entire team when you're playing for home field advantage. And as you said, we were an amazing team during the regular season at home. So those are my issues with him this past week. But in fairness, he's had a great year. He does deserve credit. You are what your record says you are, and he's an AL East champion this season. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the call. You're preaching to the choir. I have no argument with that series of statements. Joey in Mississauga, hello.
Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Okay.
I'm just calling. I've heard a lot of negativity from a lot of fans, and I think Toronto Blue Jay fans need to chill a little bit, especially considering that we haven't made the playoffs in 22 years, and we have to look forward now. You know, maybe there were mistakes made this weekend by John Gibbons with respect to resting players and not going for it, but at the end of the day, 2 out of 3 home field advantages are not too bad. And, you know, we have to hope that we're a good enough team that we can win on the road. If we do play Kansas City or whoever we're playing in the second round, if we make it that far. And I just want to say, go Jays, go. And hopefully on Thursday, we have a good start to our playoffs. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks a lot. Keith, parts unknown. Hello. Keith.
Yeah.
Hi, we got you on.
Oh, how you doing? Good. I just wanted to talk quickly about the game's post-clinching, because I think you summed it up the best, saying I'm still a Gibby fan, but I was really, really disappointed in the way the last games on the schedule went down. Besides the importance of the home field advantage, which you summed up perfectly, I haven't heard too many people mention this, and that is, if we had won the division of the entire American League, we would have been playing the wild card team instead of the Rangers.
That's right.
And there's no doubt those two teams are going to throw the ace of their staff out, each team, on that game, which means we would be playing that team and probably not seeing the ace of their staff until possibly game two, maybe game three.
Probably game three,
as opposed to facing Cole Hamels, most likely, and a dangerous Texas team, which I'm nervous about.
Well, look, Texas didn't clinch until the last day, so you could argue that Texas, Houston, and California didn't even make it. You know, you put a blanket over them, and, you know, they're all about the same record. New York Yankees' record was only marginally better. They're a similar kind of record. It becomes a matchup of history and of individual players, and you can make the argument, as some have, that the New York Yankees are a matchup that the Toronto Blue Jays might have had trouble with. In spite of their record against them, they have not historically hit all that well against that pitching staff. And that's almost assuredly the Achilles heel of the New York Yankees this year with all of the injuries they've had. And yet the Blue Jays haven't ripped them apart on any kind of a regular basis, either earlier in the year or later in the year. Having said that, the New York Yankees do not tend to score tremendous bunches of runs. They've had periods where they've scored like crazy, but in general, you feel like it's a lineup that you can control. The Texas Rangers, on the other hand, probably have the best 9 guys you can put out there from the American League, other than the Blue Jays 9 guys. Their batting order is a little scary. But I think the one point you made that I agree with and that I talked about more than once last week is the notion that if you finish first, in addition to that extra home game in the ALCS, you will avoid the number one pitcher in your first round game. Whether it was Thursday or Friday, they're not going to come back with their ace. The ace is going to go on Tuesday or Wednesday. Well, American League wildcard game is Tuesday. The aces for the Yankees in Houston are going to go on Tuesday. If you finish first overall in the American League, you would have played either of those teams and therefore would have missed their number one pitcher. And that is an advantage too. Jay in Scarborough, hello.
Bob, 2 quick points.
Yeah.
One, you've always wanted to know what the greatest upset of all time was. It was the horse called upset against Man of War, which actually created the term upset.
I don't think I asked that, but go. It's okay.
A long time ago. Anyways, the other point is you were not happy that Price is going to get 11 days off.
Correct.
But you're advocating giving Stroman 10 days off. by pitching him third.
Well, no, I'm not. I'm pitching him third for a completely different reason.
It doesn't matter the reason. He's still getting 10 days
off. But I didn't make that decision. I would have made that decision last week. I would have decided what my rotation is this week, and then I govern myself accordingly with Stroman.
Okay, but now...
So, in other words, I would have had Stroman pitch one day this weekend.
But now that he hasn't, what are you going to do?
I'm going with the same rotation.
And give him 10 days off.
Well, as opposed to what, 9 days off?
No, as opposed to 7 days off, because he's pitching Thursday as opposed to Sunday.
No, he's not pitching...
And he's pitching Friday as opposed to Sunday.
Well, that's 8 days off as opposed
right.
to 10.
Well, that can be.
I don't think that matters that much. I mean, I think either you pitch on, you know, if you pitch every fifth day, maybe on the sixth day. Although, you know, people have said, take a pitcher out of his normal routine, and some of them go stupid. Not all, but some. It is always a dangerous thing to do. The issue with me is not as it pertains to Price. It's not that he isn't going to pitch for 11 days. It's that he didn't pitch on his normal day's rest or normal schedule or as close to it as possible. That's the issue. I would have done everything in my power to keep the pitchers on their normal rotation, absent what we don't know about, which is injury. Sore arm, tightness, fatigue, whatever it could be that they don't tell us about. If I am to assume that all of the pitchers in the starting rotation are sufficiently healthy to pitch, I would have pitched them. Is that right? I don't know. But I think if you're going to play 6 months, 7 months, 8 months of baseball, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about the postseason and giving guys an extra couple of days rest, well, here's another factor. Not everybody in the rotation was going to pitch on their normal day's rest because you got three off days. Only other time that happens during the year is the World Series or the All-Star game. You can't keep everybody on a five-day rotation. But I wouldn't have skipped Price, and I wouldn't have skipped Stroman. Maybe that's just me, and maybe it won't matter. Or maybe they'll all throw perfect games, and I'll look like an idiot. That's okay, too. But I'll bet against it. Randy in Oshawa, hello.
Hey, Bob. I was just wondering how much consideration you think Osuna should get or will get for Rookie of the Year.
Some. Does that
think he should get more than he probably will get?
I don't know the answer to that. I mean, I can't presume to know how the voters will judge him. I would say that his occasional shakiness in September will be hurtful. I'd be surprised if he's Rookie of the Year. And I'm only going by how I think the public, the voters, will look at it. I think performance late in the season has added value. And I think it should have added value. And Osuna hasn't been as good in September as he was in May, for example. And I don't think anybody would question that. I think that would hurt him. I'll be surprised if he's Rookie of the Year. Chris in Markham, hello.
Hey, Bob. I have 2 points, but the first one, you were saying earlier that the Jays are 500 on the road and that, you know, you'd much rather have home field advantage. And yep. Don't get me wrong, I would too, absolutely.
I hate to do this to you, but I need you to be really quick.
Yeah, if you look at their record since the trade deadline, they are 18-10 on the road, including taking 2 of 3 in Texas and when they pounded them 12-4.
I get that.
So they are not a 500 team. They are very good on the road, and they absolutely would prefer to be at home, but they are very good on the road.
Well, I think you made the point. They'd prefer to be at home. Overall, year in, year out, home teams win 54% of all their home games. The better the team, the better the record. But that record is usually better at home and on the road. I think home games matter. I wanted that extra home game. Apparently, they didn't agree. Back in a bit.